I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy news update for Wednesday, March 24th. Quincy Mayor Thomas Koch says that he will establish a mayoral commission to study the issue of diversity, equity, and inclusion. The new committee will examine the city's recruitment and hiring practices, public outreach efforts to all populations, access to public facilities, enhancing relationship and communication between city government and the public, and if there is a need for a new Department of Diversity, Equity, and Inclusion with a full-time director. The move represents a change from the mayor's previous statement that he doesn't see a need for the new department, which was approved by the city council in response to recent public hearings where residents talked about racial discrimination and bigotry that they've experienced in Quincy. The new commission will report its findings back to the mayor. 56% of Quincy Public School students are students of color, but only 7% of the staff are considered minorities. The school department is actively recruiting candidates of color to apply for teaching and staffing positions this year and will participate in a virtual job fair later this month. Quincy police are issuing a warning about a telephone scam where the fraudsters are using the Quincy Police Department phone number. Officials have received several reports from people who have received calls appearing to be from the Quincy police and trying to persuade them to give up their credit card and other personal information. Police say they do not call to collect donations or to confirm or notify anyone of an existing warrant. Anybody receiving such a call is urged to hang up and then report it to the real Quincy police. There were 22 active cases of coronavirus confirmed in Quincy. Yesterday, the active case total is now 214. City's positivity rate remains at 2.7%. City is in the yellow category on the risk assessment map, and there have been 150 deaths. A Quincy van driver is facing criminal charges in connection with the death of a disabled passenger who later died at a facility in Hingham. The Plymouth County DA's office says 70-year-old George Wise was indicted Monday on a charge of permitting serious bodily injury to a disabled person for the death of 24-year-old Joseph Levine of Norwell. On the morning of June 26, 2019, Wise was driving a VHS Transportation Company van when he picked up Levine for transport to Road to Responsibility, an organization that serves individuals with developmental, emotional, and behavioral challenges. Prosecutors allege that Wise was made aware of Levine's sudden and declining medical condition and that he failed to take action, ignoring medical equipment alarms and several notifications by a female van monitor who attempted to alert him to the episode. Hingham police were later called to Road to Responsibility, where they found Levine in an unresponsive state. He was later pronounced dead at South Shore Hospital. Wise will be arraigned in Brockton Superior Court at a later date. A property management company has agreed to pay $25,000 to settle allegations that it denied prospective tenants who were deaf or hearing impaired access to housing at a Springfield apartment complex that it runs. As part of the agreement, Braintree-based Peabody Properties will also train its employees and implement new policies and procedures, according to the Attorney General. The settlement stems from an allegation that Peabody Properties violated state fair housing and consumer protection laws when staff at Pinchon Edgewater, a 612-unit complex in Springfield, refused to consider requests from deaf applicants filling out rental applications to provide the assistance of an American Sign Language interpreter. In a statement, Healy said people with disabilities often face serious barriers to accessing safe and affordable housing, and refusal to provide reasonable accommodations to those in need further exacerbates the problem. She said the company would not even engage with deaf tenants who were seeking housing, let alone provide them with the assistance they needed to complete a rental application. A man is facing criminal charges after police say he stole more than $60,000 worth of plumbing and electrical materials from an Amazon warehouse that's under renovation in Hingham. 40-year-old Michael Ryan of Plymouth was arraigned on charges including breaking and entering in the nighttime and larceny, as well as possession of Class B and E substances. Officers responding to a report of a massive theft at 100 Industrial Park Road on the morning of March 1st found hinges that had been sheared off of a locked gate, according to Hingham police. Investigators say Ryan used a vehicle with an attached trailer to enter the warehouse and that he spray-painted the windows to prevent anybody from seeing inside, then allegedly used a forklift and mechanical lift to remove all the copper piping that had been installed in the ceilings and to move pallets containing 36 spools of electrical wire. Locked tool containers that belonged to several contractors were also broken into and raided. In total, Ryan robbed the warehouse of $27,500 worth of plumbing materials, $18,700 worth of electrical materials, and over $17,000 worth of tools. Ryan was arrested at his home early Monday morning and reportedly found to be in possession of Suboxone and Xanax pills. The investigation is still ongoing. Duxbury Superintendent John Antonucci said that it has become clear that varsity members of the high school football team used anti-Semitic language during a recent game against Plymouth North. In a recent letter to residents, Antonucci explained to the community that players used highly offensive language while calling audibles during the game on March 12th. In a statement issued yesterday, Antonucci confirmed that at least some of the language used on the field contained anti-Semitic words. Antonucci said the play call system was immediately halted, and he's instituting mandatory training for the team. The school has been in contact with the Anti-Defamation League and members of the community and parents. Head football coach Dave Mameron has also apologized. MBTA officials had always said that they had planned to restore their recent sweeping pandemic-induced service cuts as riders returned to the system. However, the agency is now planning to speed that up, following backlash from the state congressional delegation over the agency's plan to save federal relief funds until that time. MBTA General Manager Steve Poftak said in a letter to Congressman Stephen Lynch that the T will increase bus and subway service as quickly as possible. It doesn't mean full service will return right away, though. The State House News Service reporting the T plans to fully fund 100% of pre-COVID service hours for the next fiscal year. That begins in July. The timeline for the restoration of the cuts, which hit the T's bus and subway lines on March 14th, is still unclear. The news comes after the T said last week it would no longer indefinitely furlough 40 commuter rail conductors. The T has not laid off any employees yet due to the pandemic. The reversals come after the state congressional delegation requested an explanation from the T for why they were cutting service after getting more than $1 billion in federal funds from the COVID-19 relief bills passed by Congress in December and March. Boston's new acting mayor, Kim Janey, began her first historic day in office by going back to school. Janey, a Roxbury resident, went to the Edwards Middle School in Charlestown yesterday for a brief visit. She was a student there as a child. And then it was on to City Hall, where Janey will now take over the responsibility of leading Boston through the pandemic. She's taking over for Marty Walsh, who resigned Monday night after he was confirmed by the U.S. Senate to be the next labor secretary. Walsh left for Washington yesterday morning and was sworn in by Vice President Kamala Harris last evening. Janey will hold the office as acting mayor until the November election. She is the city's 55th mayor, But when she's sworn in this morning, she will be the first woman and first black mayor in Boston's history. At an oversight hearing aimed at analyzing the state's vaccine rollout, Massachusetts lawmakers voiced concerns about equity. They also accused the Baker administration of scrapping two decades of planning to mobilize local public health departments to deliver vaccines, instead giving no-bid contracts to private companies to run the state's mass vaccination sites. A handful of public health officials told the committee that they were prepared to ramp up their capabilities and deliver COVID-19 vaccines, but they were sidelined by the Baker administration. Governor Baker told the committee that the unique refrigeration needs of some COVID-19 vaccines created challenges that could not be met by public health departments. He also said that only 15% of vaccines administered from the state's mass vaccination sites, while hospitals and pharmacies administer the bulk of them. There are 13 regional vaccination sites in addition to the mass vaccination sites. In recent weeks, Massachusetts has come from behind, now ranking first vaccine doses per capita among states that have 5 million or more residents. According to the most recent data, Massachusetts is also making up ground among communities of color. However, Latino residents have received about 12% of vaccinations and account for about 22% of COVID-19 cases. This will be the second time Baker has testified before the panel. Last month, the governor told them the biggest issue had been the limited supply of the vaccine. In Massachusetts, there is a race to vaccinate as many people as possible. Doctors say the state needs more shots, and soon, if the number of COVID cases are going to decrease at the rate they were last summer. Taking a look at last Tuesday versus this Tuesday, the state had 1,018 cases and a positivity rate of 1.86%. Now, there are 1,476 cases and a positivity rate of 2.2%. Doctors say there's no reason to panic yet, but there is a risk right now that infection trends could change course if vaccination rates don't pick up, and soon. There is one positive trend, though. Even with plateauing infection rates, hospitalizations are relatively low, and the ages of those infected show the success of vaccines so far, with the majority of cases in people under 19, and the numbers decreasing in older populations, just 666 cases in people between 70 and 79. Massachusetts Department of Elementary and Secondary Education has released graduation ceremony guidelines for K through 12 public and private schools, along with colleges in the state. Indoor commencements must comply with the regulations set for the particular type of venue. If the event is outdoors, there's no capacity limit as long as there is social distancing, 6 feet of separation between groups, and airflow. Tents are only allowed if at least 50% of the perimeter is open. Desi said graduation should be as short as possible, no food or drink is allowed, and there shouldn't be gatherings before or after. Masks and staggered entrance and exits are required for all graduates, faculty members, and guests. Graduates can walk across the stages individually and turn their tassel instead of being handed a diploma. Brass and wind instruments are discouraged. Attendees must tell the school if they've tested positive for COVID-19 for contact tracing purposes. Law enforcement officials and former associates of a 21-year-old accused of killing 10 people at a Colorado supermarket described the suspect as someone prone to sudden rage who was suspended from high school for a sudden attack on a classmate that left the student bloodied. Ahmad Al-Aliwi Alyssa, who was from the Denver suburb of Arvada, was booked into jail on murder charges a day after the attack at a King Supers grocery in Boulder. He's due to make his first court appearance tomorrow. Alyssa had bought an assault weapon March 16th, 6 days before the attack. Investigators have not established a motive. Democrats said they are pushing toward a vote on expanded gun control measures as the nation reels from its second mass shooting in a week. President Biden said, quote, we have to act, but prospects for any major change were dim for now in the closely divided Congress. A check of business news. Stocks pulled back yesterday. The Dow was down 308. The NASDAQ fell 149. The S&P lost 30. Global stocks also fell. The dollar and the euro are down. Oil at $61 a barrel. In sports, Celtics will take on the Bucks tonight at 7:30. The National Weather Service forecast for today, partly sunny at a high 55. Tonight, cloudy, low 46. Tomorrow, sun and clouds, and mild with a high near 70 degrees. Morning shower possible Friday, high of 64. Saturday, mostly sunny and 50 degrees. The boater waves about a foot, a light southeast wind, high tide at 8:24 a.m. Sunrise, 6:39, set at 7:01. So again, partly sunny, mid-50s today. Traffic note for River Bridge, scheduled to open Wednesday at 11 a.m., Thursday at 6 a.m. I'm Joe Catalano with an AM Quincy News Update for Wednesday, March 24th.